crack. Welcome back to the Pear Pod. Thank you for supporting the last episode. Apologies for the delay in getting new episodes out. Been busy, but delighted to say that we have a bunch of episodes coming out, starting with Dublin rapper Graymo. Graymo, thank you for coming on, bro. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I saw your, the first time I saw you was the freestyle you put out that TikTok. I messaged you about on TikTok. And there's a couple of bits I want to ask you about that off the bat. We'll go back and hear about your early life and stuff. But with that freestyle, were you, your mate, when he's talking about it, he asks you, like, are you going to spit something? Were you planning on doing something at that moment?
No. I wouldn't usually kind of do something like that.
Well, what was the inspiration to do at that time?
The boys, Bino, Cobbs, two other members of the Stray Collectives, they spat some. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll have to jump in on this.
So what is this case? Do you have that loaded? Like, do you have...
That's a track, yeah. So basically that would have been pre-written, recorded, different beat, different track.
Yeah.
And it's just fires that I know off the top of my head. And it's like, yeah, it sound nice on this beat.
Because you can hear your mate even after you do it. He's like he laughs because he was like, yeah. How do you have that loaded in you? Like, it's mad.
Yeah. Most rappers would have like a little arsenal of stuff that...
That's kind of my question. When that comes, obviously you hear the beat and stuff and you're like, that just flows nicely with what I have in my head.
Yeah.
But to kind of, was that first take? Just spat that out and then you were done?
Yeah. It was just the boys went and then I was like, I had to bounce.
That's kind of part of the creative process of like having musicians on this particularly.
Yeah.
Cause I find even, have you seen stuff like Pen Game and stuff going on in the UK right now?
Yeah,
it's like the rap battle stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's you're seeing a lot of like young talent coming through now. So seeing people being able to like freestyle off the top like that. But the difference I think between you and those guys is the words you use, the language you use, like the way you put your raps together is great. Like it's not just, you know, just to rhyme, like the actual things you're saying.
Yeah, it has meaning behind it.
There's depth behind it, do you know what I mean?
Fact. A lot of lads can rap, but a lot of lads can't say something when they're rapping.
It's the difference between a rapper and an artist, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but some people, they can rap, they're not saying shit, but it's still fun to listen to.
And I guess,
you know, that kind of way.
What's more important to you?
It's a fine balance. Like, you kind of have to have fun with it as well as have something that you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of way. That's just me personally, because I feel like, how am I going to justify saying that if it doesn't mean it? That's just me.
Like, I feel like there's rappers you can listen to in the club that would come on in, like, a club on a night out, and you're like, yeah, it's fucking beast. Like, someone like, my mates always give me shit for, like, people like, you know, G-Eazy from the States. Like, he makes club music.
He's playing over here recently.
Yeah. He would do, like, club music, but I wouldn't necessarily listen to him if I was, like, smoking a joint out, like, you know, trying to listen to something, you know?
Hey, no one's saying... play a G-Eazy song. Nobody's requesting a G-Eazy song.
And then you have... But then you've lads you listen to who's like the depth of their actual lyrics is what you stay for.
So. Yeah. There's some sick Irish MCs out there, man. Really, really good Irish MCs.
Like I'm coming up. There's a few of my mates are big into Irish rap right now. Like I got onto Malachy like years ago. Have you seen Khaki Kid? Is that his name?
Khaki Kid's killing at the minute.
Blowing up, man.
Killing
one of my mates
at the minute,
was army to try and
handsome motherfucker. Like, so the women love him. Like, you know what I mean? It's hard to compete with that. Like, you know what I mean?
He's got a very unique style.
Yeah.
A very unique,
happy-go-lucky vibe. And it's like his latest thing where he's like, he's in a swimming pool and he's like, visuals are just insane. Like, and the song's catchy as well. It's a pure radio hit.
It's a weird way. Like, he doesn't rap. Like, I wouldn't call it a stereotypical rap.
That's what's interesting to hear. He's in his own lane, you know, so it's interesting to see. Shout out to Khaki Kid.
Yeah, man. Come on. Have you seen a kind of rise, maybe in the last 5 years, 10 years, of like the Dublin scene and like Irish creators coming up? Like Jazzy as well, we talk a lot about Belters Only. Like, what do you think is kind of inspiring that? Just like the internet culture now, people can start kind of out of nothing.
Yeah, I think people are just like starting to give less of a fuck about what other people think. And I think that's a good thing, because I think Ireland for a lot of years was kind of like, you couldn't do a certain thing because everyone else wasn't doing that thing. And if you were, you're a fucking weirdo.
Mm.
But now it's cool to be a fucking weirdo. So it's like, be as weird as it, the weirder the better. You know, that kind of way.
It's almost like a lot of lads I have on are pursuing something like a passion of some description.
Mm.
And they're like, it's you're a fucking loser until you're the fucking coolest
guy.
You know what I mean? Like if you at the start, when you're like, lads, I want to rap, they're like, fuck me.
When I was growing up, like, some of my mates were like, oh, that's deadly. But some of the boys are like, rapping, would you cop yourself on? But I'm like, I enjoy it, man. I don't give a shit what you think. Like,
What was it like initially, like music in general? When did that start for you? Or when did you have the inspiration to do it?
My brother probably, man. My brother was like always kind of like into music, but like he wasn't really necessarily into rap.
Mm.
He did kind of like Eminem, but to begin...
Who didn't? Like,
Yeah, to begin with, my introduction to rap would have been Limp Bizkit. And I only kind of copped this like last year or something. I had like a little throwback in my head. And I was like, shit, yeah, that's kind of how I got introduced to rap. I think me and Aaron having a conversation and it was like, oh yeah, how did you get introduced to rap? And I was like thinking about it. I think it was Limp Bizkit, Fred Durst. I used to like his stuff. And then that kind of went from him, Eminem, to like Lil Wayne, to like Drake, J. Cole, and then like just...
What a run.
Yeah.
And do you get like, number one, you can enjoy music, you can be listening to lots of music.
Yeah.
Like, when are you like, fuck man, I feel like number one, it's something I'd like to pursue, but then number two, I could actually be quite good at this. Do you know what I mean? Like those are big steps to make from like, I like rap music, I like to listen to rap music.
Yeah.
I have no intention of being a rapper, I don't think I'd be any good.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely don't think I could write very well. Yeah, so like, what was it that was like, I want to start pursuing this a little bit?
Still, like I work like, so I work full time in construction, have done for like all my life, since I'm able to work. And it's like, that's where I make my money, that's where the bread comes from. So I'll always pick work, family life. Music is a hobby and it's probably going to always be a hobby for me, you know, that kind of way, unless opportunities start popping up where it's like, oh, you can, the income you can make from this can surpass the income you can make from your actual career. And I take it a lot more seriously and I'd probably pursue it a bit more. But at the minute, it's like, I enjoyed it just being a hobby.
Yeah.
Because there's no pressure. There's no fucking, like, obviously we have to do gigs and there's stuff you have to do and you have to, like, it's like extra work type of thing. Mm. But it's for the love of it.
And when you enjoy it, it doesn't feel like work.
No,
and
yeah, like, fact.
Even for this podcast, like, this is a passion of mine. And if I had, if this was suddenly my full-time career and I have to do 5 podcasts a week, I'm sure that the enjoyment, the love of it, would start to be passed.
Yeah, like, straining.
It's a stress, man. Yeah,
it's straining.
It's nice to hear. I had Ev Wilde on this podcast, who was a very similar situation to yourself. He's like, he goes to work construction all day, or he gets up before, starts working on his music, goes construction for the whole day, comes home, works on it again. And he has a similar outlook to yourself of like, number one, I have to earn this, and it's not realistic for me to be like, I'm going to drop everything and just be a rapper. Like, you know, bills to pay. In some cases, like families look after you. Can't just be selfish with it.
In Ireland, there's probably like a handful of people I can think of that have actually like said, right, fuck this. I'm going to like stop working full time and go at this full time. Mm. But I don't think there's any of them that are making like a livable earning off it.
I would say it's that threshold to be like, I have so much consistent work now for the next year.
Yeah.
I can't work construction. I have so much guaranteed stuff. I think that's, like, that's a huge jump to make.
Yeah,
to
like, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to leave all this behind, you know?
Especially in Ireland at the minute, it's getting to that point, but I don't know if it's necessarily at that point where you have to be very, very lucky and well connected as well.
What kind of gigs can you do, like, you know, and on a year, like a yearly basis? Like, what kind of shows can you get invited to do, or are you doing your own personal shows?
A mix of both. So through the label Outstraight Records, like, that would be who I'd work with. So anything I get would come through them. Or you could get like a random DM being like, oh, do you want to do a show? Like, we got a DM on, I think it's on my TikTok. And the young lad was like, oh, we'll just do a birthday party. Like, and I was if it was something that like people wanted, or like it was something like someone wanted, I'd be like, yeah, do a birthday party. Cause like, it's for the crack. Like, we'll take it serious. Like, if the young lad fucks with us enough that he wants us at his birthday, like his 18th, that's cool. Like, you know what I mean? Shows to Outstraight.
Do you have when you first performed, do you remember the first time you performed?
First time I performed was through Courtesy. Courtesy is an animal killing at the minute. Shout out to Courtesy. Through him. And I think it was Delirium ran event. Where was it? In town up along the Lewis line somewhere. Mad random. Me, Courtesy, Julian Knifefist. I'm not sure if you know him.
No, I don't.
I brought my friends, Julian Knifefist. He's a real good artist, like real sick, but like he was doing this stuff where he was rolling around the floor and all. My friends thought they were coming to a hip hop show and they're like, what is this shit, bro? And I'm like, I don't know. I just came here to do my bars. I don't know what's going on. This is my first gig and shit like that. But it was a good show. It was a good show. Of course, he'd done his thing. I had some tracks with him. He had some tracks with me. So we kind of like shared the sense. So
did you have a little moment where you're like, fuck man, this is what I want to do? Like, did
I enjoy it? I enjoyed it. Like, that wasn't my first time performing in front of people. I'd done a rap battle fucking years ago. So like, that was my first time performing in front of people. So that kind of like broke that nervousness from that. But that was my first ever show, was through a delirium of true courtesy.
Is it true that, like, you know, when people talk about performing on stage and, like, the kind of feeling you get, almost like a drug, that you get that feeling, then people kind of just pursue on that? Can you understand, like, when you do it, yeah, like, the crowd's fucking feeling what you're
when,
saying?
When, no, it's not every show. Some shows are fucking crickets, like, you know. Some crowds just, it's not going to click with every crowd. Some crowds are fucking amazing, and you feed off that as an artist. Like, when you hear, like, for instance, when you hear people saying a shit back, you're like, of course that's going to pep you up. Like, if you can say 3/4 of a bar and let the crowd finish the end of it, catch your breath for a second and start the next.
You feel like that's fucking, that's God, that's shit.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, you feel, it's mutual respect between you and the person that's saying it back to you. It's like, shit. Like, annoying.
Do you, number one, do you, like, you were saying, like, you, for if you were going to go and make this huge, like, do you see an opportunity, like, in Ireland to grow, or do you feel like you'd need to go, like, travel the UK and stuff to kind of grow it? Like, it is tough in Ireland right now. Social is helping, but it's hard to
Everyone kind of has to, like, branch out from Ireland if you want to be successful as a musician in general. I think Ireland is, like, a stepping stone. It's like, obviously, nowhere else to start, but you're not going to, like, complete your journey here. You'll have to expand to the UK, you'll have to expand to the US. It's like, it's the process, it's the evolution of every artist when they become big, like,
especially in art. Like, I don't know what the hip-hop scene is like now. I'd say it's growing, like, year on year. It's getting bigger and bigger.
When I started doing this shit compared to now, like, it used to be not cool to rap. Now it's cool to rap. Like,
if I can give you a massive compliment, I've listened to our, like, previous Irish rappers, and I don't think people or lads have found, some people kind of hide their Dublin accent or hide their Irish accent and try to make it more UK sounding. And I feel like you do a, like, I feel like your voice encapsulates the Dublin accent perfectly, but also just sounds great on beats. Like, do you have a, have you heard, like, do you find that as a way that people are like, I love hearing an Irish accent and someone that's rapping? Did you ever try and,
I've heard both ends of where people are like, oh, an Irish accent or a Dublin accent, should be rapping with a Dublin accent. And I'm like, what other fucking accent can I use? Like, it's not like, I know lads who do, like, obviously there's, like, a heavy, like, kind of grime scene in Ireland where the English accent is heavily portrayed, and it's like, it sounds cool. But, like, that's not how you speak. And if it is how you speak, it's fucking put on. Do you know what I mean? Like, or like, yous are all speaking like that. So, like, yous are all kind of putting it on type of crack. And it's just like, you don't go home and speak to your ma like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, don't fucking, well, look, if each to their own. You can't hate. If a lad's out there and he's enjoying himself and he's making music, and can't hate.
I'd always say that, you know, I'd always back someone who's like, no, I'm going to be myself. And if people like it, they like it. If they don't,
My opinion in it as well. Like, not be original, but be who
you are,
yeah. And if people don't like it, then
everyone else is taken, like, you know what I mean?
Facts.
Do you have when you write music, when do you like to write? I've had lads on who like to write in the evenings, go off on their own. Sometimes they feel like in the morning.
Could be like, I'm one of these, like, I'll think of something, I could be driving up the road, and I'll, it's another way you can, like, speech to text, go on to me notes real quick, and I'll be like, I had to get that, like, down. Just a little small idea. I have thousands of them in me notes.
You're afraid to lose it, like,
yeah, just like, being a stoner, like, do you know what I mean? You say something, you think something, and then something happened, you look out the window and you look back, and like, fucking walking down into the kitchen. What the fuck did I come here again for? Do you know what I mean? Like, same kind of crack. So if I had a little idea, I'll write it down. But, like, I never, like, force myself to write. It's never like, oh, I have to go home tonight and I have to write. Unless, like, it's a deadline on something and I actually do have to. But, like, no, I'll never, like, it just happens randomly, spontaneously. It could go weeks, months without writing, and then I could write, like, shit ton of stuff in the space of a few days.
And I guess that's kind of like what we're talking about in terms of turning it from a passion into a career. Do you know what I mean? Because the more you turn that into a career, the more you're
pressure's
have
on.
To,
yeah, pressure's
I need,
on.
I need the album.
There's
done
someone
next month.
Knocking at the door saying, where's that next project? Where's that next single? You have to come do this. And, like, this is optional for me to come here.
We've got
here
three
today.
Shows
like,
next week. I need you there.
You have to come to this podcast this morning. Then after that podcast, you have to do another two interviews. And I mean, it's a busy one.
And do you, like, there's definitely got to be a part of you that's like, I don't want to turn the thing that I've, like, been able to escape and have my own thing and turn that into a career, man, you know?
It's a thing where it's like, will it ruin, will it take the fun out of it? You know, because as it's just a hobby, it's fun to do. it's on my terms. But if it's not on my terms, I don't know. It could be something where like I would enjoy it because like in work, like any job I've ever done, I've kind of like excelled. I'd start off working at the bottom, up like supervisor, manager, it's another team leader type of crack. Like, so I'd be confident in myself that if I did have to, if I was put in a situation, I'd fucking have to do it. Like, you've no other choice. It's either sink or swim. Like.
And the structure could, you could be like, fuck man, now it could be the making it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you could
get the opportunity. Facts, but
right now, all you can kind of do is keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Do you have when you talk about specifically, like, obviously I saw you through social media and stuff like that. Do you like doing social media videos and stuff like that? I can see you probably fucking don't. Like, but do you then see the rise in your socials when you have a video?
Yeah,
that
there's
off,
a plus
you know?
Side to it. Like, I see other lads in the label, like Bino kills it with the content.
I
like,
just
Bino's
watched this video before we came on.
Is on the ball, do you know that kind of way? He looks great in front of a camera. I'm real fucking nervous in front of a camera. I'm like, shit, I don't like taking photos. I don't like being on video, but I know it's something that I have to do for people to hear and see me shit. Like, you can put music out all day on Spotify. No one's going to fucking hear it.
You can have the best shit.
Yeah, no one's going to hear it. You have to back it up promo. You know that kind of way. You have to have visuals on socials for people to engage and be like, oh, who's this? Do you know that kind of way? And the better them visuals look, the better it's perceived, you know, that kind of way.
The better it gets pushed on, the, like, all this
and the algorithm, the algorithm, this shit fucking...
It's not all equated to talent, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of it.
I've seen some...
There's killers out there that no one knows about, you know?
Yeah, fact. There's a young lad, probably similar age to myself, Edgy. He's from Liverpool or Manchester or something. Man, he's killing it at the minute, killing it. His bars are fucking unbelievable. Like, as a writer, I think other writers would... Notice, like, as a writer, you instantly appreciate someone else's writing talent.
When you hear it,
you're like, yay, that's fucking, this chap knows. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of people, like, there's a lot of lads rapping, in my opinion. There's not a lot of lads writing, like, sharp pen, you know, that kind of way. There's not a lot of lads doing that. There's a lot of lads you can write and it sounds catchy and it sounds cool, but, like, when you get into the intricacy of it and when you're like, shit, that, he said that, and then 2 minutes later, he said that, and it tied it all back in. There's different ways.
And it's interesting that, like, someone like me, or, like, music in general right now, you can write a banging hook, and, like, you can have a viral video. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be three verses of absolute heat. So when you hear someone be like, it's almost, I'd say a lot of it goes unappreciated. Do you know what I mean? Not like regular listeners. Like,
I always think,
there's, like, all these metaphors and shit.
Yeah, when I'm writing something, I'm like, will anyone even understand this? Like, is there any point of going to these lengths? Because who's going to fucking know what I'm talking about here? But then you get the odd time where someone quotes something and you're like, yo, this fella's tuned in. Appreciate that. Fuck with you heavily. Thank you. You know, that kind of way. That comes along every now and again. And it's just like a little small bit of confirmation that people are listening. People are picking up on things.
When I do videos and shit, like, obviously I do videos for clients and I'll spend hours like color grading and shit like that, and I send it away and they go, oh my god the shots are so cool. Like, the worst shots I put in that I had to put in, they're like, I love this one. I'm like, it doesn't even make sense because I'll kill myself for these three shots, and they go, can you take that one out? And I'm
it's mad though when you look at it from a different perspective. It's like what you think people will like versus what people like. It's two completely different things,
and that's the job end of it. It's not, if I was making these videos for fun for myself, I can make it any way I want, but as soon as I make it a job and it's for other people,
customers are always right.
You mentioned there when we were chatting outside, you have a daughter. How did having a kid kind of change the way you think about your rap career? Did it like spur you on to be like, if I'm going to do this, I got to push at it? Or is it like, I now have a different priority and that needs to get more focused on my rap, and if I can do it on the side, I still will?
It made me think twice about what I was saying, type of thing, because I'm like, eventually she'll hear this. How is she going to perceive it? Is she going to think, shit, my dad's a fucking prick? So it's like, I have to be mindful. And like the situation with my daughter, it's like, it didn't happen conventionally, you know, that kind of way. So it wasn't like, oh, I see this girl, I have a daughter, it's happily ever after. It didn't happen conventionally. I found out she was my daughter when she was 3. So I didn't have that initially in my head when I first started making music. It wasn't even, I wasn't aware. I had got a daughter. Probably started writing when I was like 16-ish. And she would have been conceived when I was 17. Didn't find out about who whore till I was 20.
Yeah.
So like by the time I found out about whore, she had a different like a dad.
Yeah. Father figure or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. So like when I found out, yeah, initially like I was like it's gonna change everything type of thing. But it didn't change a whole lot because it wasn't like she didn't live with me, so I didn't have to be like I have to go home every night because yeah. She lives with her mom. She has like a father figure there, but she calls dad stuff like so. She's happy. She's healthy. I am happy. Another kind of way. She doesn't look for anything. But yeah, back to the question. The way I write definitely changed after I found out.
Yeah, it's just all wholesome stuff. Like,
well,
no, I'm not joking.
It's not all wholesome, but I have to be mindful when I'm speaking about women or like stuff like that. I have to be like, right. I have a daughter, so I can't say that. Is what she gonna think? She's gonna think that's how I think. So you have to hold back.
As we're coming up to the first half here, you mentioned that you obviously signed with the label now.
Yeah.
When that was coming up, and like you know, you're coming up, you're not signed with anyone. Are you thinking like that's the next step for me? Is I can get if I can get some representation, work with a label that's gonna give me the tools I need to kind of kick on. Or were you kind of thinking if it comes, it comes?
Yeah. It didn't. It wasn't something I saw. It was like Aaron, who runs the label along with Lewis. Aaron and I just kind of became friends. He asked me to do a couple of events. We both had similar interests. And it was just more like a friendship. And then when he kind of wanted to build out straight into like more of a label and solidify it as something rather than just have it like sporadic and stuff like that, you kind of get me the nudge being like, would you like to be a part of this? We have some other artists. We're thinking of like Bino, Don Cobbs, Gigi Karma, Panda Dre.
Save a roster.
Concan. Yeah, there's I think 12 of us.
And I think that's got to be the best way if you're going to get into that to do it is like non-official. You know, some people are being signed.
Yeah,
like,
it was natural fit. Yeah, it was so natural. It was like, there's no pressure. We're doing this thing here. We'd like you to be a part of it. If you don't want to be a part of it, that's cool. But if you do want to be a part of it, that's even cooler. And we'd like you to do that. So it was kind of like, it's cool.
How have you, did you go from, obviously, you said your mates in the past when you first started rapping, like it wasn't a cool thing or like your mates weren't mad about it at the time.
Yeah.
Have you found a massive difference being able to collaborate with people that also want to rap and like even being in the studio with like four of the lads also trying to rap? Like that?
Definitely. Like you feed off other people's energy, I feel. When you're in a space creating with other creatives, it's just gonna work naturally. But on the other hand, if you're in a space with other creatives and your creative juices aren't flowing, it can be very frustrating because other people are sitting there and they're writing verses. Verses are hitting. They're sitting there going, "Shit, like I can't write on the spot like this." Like it's like. I don't force it. It's like when it happens, it happens.
But as you said as well, like all those artists probably relate to that. So then say, lads, it's not coming today, they've all had days where it's not coming.
Yeah. Like we, there recently, myself and all the boys were working on a top secret thing coming soon. Don Cobbs came in one day and wrote one of the nicest verses I feel like he's ever written. Performed it, recorded it, all in like the space of a few hours. And I can't stop listening to it. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just like, I got jealous because I was like, shit, I didn't come here like that today. I had like something pre-written that I felt like would work on the beat. Don Cobbs came, made a show of us all, wrist something savage.
He was probably coming in that day being like, I'm about to blow this place off.
Yeah, it was. And he says it, he keeps saying it. He's like, oh, he was in my pocket that day, bro. He was in my pocket that day. And I was like, fuck, man, you're killing shit.
Do you have upcoming like projects that you're working on, like mixtapes, albums, things like that?
Yes.
Can you talk about any of that?
Nothing's actually like solidified. I just have a fucking shit ton of music recorded, ready to go.
How have you found the process of like putting a structured piece together? Do you know what I mean? Versus
nightmare.
Just tunes.
Nightmare. Because you have to when you're building an album, like you have to have like a concept. You have to have like these tracks kind of meshing in.
It can't just be one heater, like a load of random ones that you like. There has to be like cohesion.
Yeah. Well, it can be. We did that where Irish Goal was just random. Random bangers. We just said, fuck it, we make an Irish Goal, make an album. We didn't know what we were going to call it. We didn't know what we were going to do with it. We were like 16 tracks, 15 and an interlude. Mm. Oh no, what was it? 13 tracks, interlude, intro and outro. Mm. 14 tracks, intro. And we're like, fuck it, we'll just throw these together. see how they sound like. And they sounded nice together. So we're like, yeah, we'll call this an album. That kind of way.
How do you approach if you were like, I want to get a feature on? Like, do you have when you're putting tunes together, you'd be like, fuck, Beano be good on this. Like, do you have people in your head you think would work well?
Yeah,
you...
yes. When I put my verse on it and then I listen to the gap and I'm like, who could fill that gap? Who would sound lovely on that beat? And she gave your selection then. You know, you just text one of the boys and be like, have this track. Do you want to jump on it? And sure, look, they might say, no, I'm not feeling it, which I completely respect because I've often done that myself. I'm very peculiar when it comes to like, tracks and what I'm going to write on. I'm so fussy. Like,
Aaron has joined the podcast, CEO of Ice Cream Record. Thank you for joining us.
Love that. Cheers. Thanks for having us, man. Appreciate it.
We'll bring you in very shortly. I just want to quickly ask Graham about, you know, when you're trying to pick beats and some people are bringing you beats, like, number one, do you have like 3 or 4 guys you like that you go with? Can anyone approach you with a beat and throw it to you and be like, if you like it?
Yeah. Well, it's both, yeah. So I'd have my close producers where like I'm usually walking with these handful of guys. And then like, fuck, if anyone, like if John Annie makes beats and they're savage, like send them on. Like, I mean, it's like, yeah, I'll use anyone's beat, man. No prejudice there.
How do you, obviously it's kind of like a symbiotic relationship. You know what I mean? Like they need you, you need them. You know what I mean? So I'm sure they're also protective of like, I want to make sure whoever gets on this is going to fucking, you know, hit it.
Oh, and producers like, are the most precious people. They're most precious can people. Can be. It's like they spend all the time creating the beat. And then like, if you're working with the same producer that's engineering, so if they're mixing and mastering for you, they spend all that time with the track and it's like their baby then, you know, that kind of way. So like, if you do anything with that track, they can get very touchy, you know, that kind of way. If you play the track to people that they didn't know you were going to play it to, if you put it anywhere that they didn't know you were going to put it. And so it can get a little bit tricky like that. You have to be careful with who you work with, and you have to come to terms of like what you can do once the work is finished. What's the allowances with it? Like,
I can ask you this, Aaron, actually. When you're signing people on, do you have a roster of producers you have and then a roster of rappers that you have, or is it more so rappers and then you have guys you can go to for beats?
We have a couple of in-house producers, yeah. We have a couple of producers in-house. Just definitely open to still working with others. I think Graham already kind of mentioned earlier that it wasn't really a very calculated decision at the start. We just kind of were a group of friends that came together. We were doing a lot of shows together kind of at the start, just after COVID times and stuff. And it came together very naturally. But there is 3 producers in-house straight as well. And they'd obviously be our most frequent collaborators. And yeah, have a very strong kind of out-straight sound in behind them too, so.
And do you have would you then liaise a little bit about who gets to use certain beats or who gets to work with who? Like, are you kind of connecting those people together? Or is it very much like a natural kind of, he'll come in and you'll play some beats for him and they can decide?
I think it's a bit of a dogfight. Okay. It's a bit of an arena, which is good. Beats. Like, you know, it's competitive and we kind of want that element to it as well. But there is obviously a natural understanding with some people more so than others. Like, Hickey works very closely with Graham.
The boys should send in beats into the group chat.
Again, snaps, yeah.
Oh, there's a fucking free-for-all. Bagsy that thing, man. Yeah, boys, fuck off.
There could be a beast in a group chat for 5 minutes and it's gone. It's so gone. You have to kind of Beano be on the ball. Like, you know,
we want that for me solo project. No one's getting a feature on it. Fuck off.
Is it first come, first serve? Is that how it works? Like, or would the producer be like, look, Beano's saying, but I kind of see Graymo on this one.
Yeah, that happens too. That happens. Scott's a lot like that. No Venom.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like,
producers, we have to plug the producers on the thing. We have 404.
Yep.
We have Hickey, and we have No Venom, 3 Sickos, 3 of Ireland.
It's a great name, yeah. But they're 3 quite different producers as well, I feel. Very sample based and kind of like the old 90s kind of sounds as well. He is very modern too, but that's kind of like his classical sound. Scott's a bit more varied, I think, in his approach, and he's like a different age as well.
Yeah.
And you want to have different sounds, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
You want to be a lot of variety.
There's no point in having 3 of the same fucking producers on there.
No, but it's very natural that they have very different sounds. And then 404 is kind of like a live hardware kind of guy, so he uses like an SP machine. You see him on Instagram. He's amazing at what he does. Like, yeah, that's again a very different approach.
How do you see Out Straight kind of growing, or what are your hopes for it growing? Like, what kind of, like, even if you were looking at a couple of like pillars in time, whether it's doing a couple of shows, whether it's signing more people to a roster, whatever it is, like, what kind of the next steps you see in order for you to grow?
I think it's just grow naturally as much as possible. There's always success measures, I guess, in any business, really. Like, we've already sold our shows in the Sugar Club. Played all together now. Played Electric Picnic last year for 3 days in a row.
Sick.
And yeah, it's just that continued growth. More than anything, it's just a platform for the lads to do whatever they want with their own music and the platform then that as much as we possibly can. So I guess it depends on the music that comes out of it, really.
Yeah.
And the natural collaboration from them.
It's probably a weird industry a little bit. Like no other industry could you, it's almost like there's a level of doing it for the love. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So like when stuff comes out, you're like, I don't even give a shit. This does well. It's such a class tune. Do you know what I mean? And you need to kind of balance the two being like, look, there needs to be financially, we need to be sound, but also I appreciate the art and like letting the artist do their thing.
Yeah. It's always a push pull kind of thing. I guess that's kind of my role, is to be the hard ass sometimes and be like, this doesn't make sense right now. Or you know, maybe that could sound better as well. And kind of hold a quality marker in it.
Yep.
But it means you have to play the hard ass sometimes. For sure.
It's vital to have someone to say, lads, give your head a shake. It's not feasible.
Yeah.
Sounds cool and all, but it's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's Aaron's. Aaron works for a bank and he's cutthroat.
You need the money behind that. You need that.
He's cutthroat.
Yeah, but I love the music more than anything else. That's the thing. Like, it's not really a business per se. Like, it's not a money making machine or anything.
Yeah.
So we do this for the love of it more than
hobby.
Anything.
Hobby, yeah.
It all fucking starts that way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, as you said, do you have I'll let you hype up Graham a little bit there. Like what kind of elements of Graham's music or Graham as a person be like, he'd be a great fit for us? Apart from being, obviously you guys are like close friends and know each other well, but like what elements of Graham do you think would make him successful or help him make it be successful?
The first biggest rule that I have with someone in Outstraight is like, just good people.
Mm-hmm.
We don't deal with dickheads.
That kind
of thing. So you have to be a good person, have to believe in the music. Obviously that's where the merit comes from, is the music first and foremost. I genuinely believe Graham's one of the best writers in the country, of any genre, of anything that he's doing. The way he can kind of encapsulate a feeling or an emotion or, you know, put someone in a place is really, really evocative and comes across really strongly.
It's a
great
word. It's a great word.
Yeah, that's it for Graham for me.
And if he has do you feel like you need to push him a little bit on the social side, like putting himself out there a little bit more? Like we talked about a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Like with everybody, like kind of thing, it's everyone has different nuances as well. Like there's 12, 13 people in Outstraight. So some people like say Bino, he takes it very seriously and he has a very set structure for when he's doing a project. Graham probably a little bit less so.
Yeah.
Like kind of keep it on the straight and narrow in that sense. But now I'm doing different things with Bino and it's just all kind of pushing.
But it's great. It's great to have that. Yeah. And like you'll see, like even off the freestyle you put out on TikTok that I obviously saw Graham through. That's as natural as it's going to get in terms of like a piece of social content. Like you just snap something there and it just happens to be heat. So like in an ideal world, that's what it is. But I think like, finding a balance between a bit of structure, even shit like this, man. I know podcasts are a pain in the hole, but like people getting to know you as a person a little bit more, it's only going to make them, then they hear your fucking freestyle at the end of this. And like, fuck on.
And it makes way more sense then as well when you kind of get the motivation of where it comes from.
People are like, he's not a prick, he seems. Because people have said that to me before, like randomers when I meet them like at a show and they like the music and all. After we become like close our friends, they're like, I thought you were a prick. Like you come across as such a fucking not nice person. Like, kind of, and I'm like, no, I'm fucking chilling. Like, don't be fucking.
I feel like that's why podcasts are great, because like in the past, like even with like Eminem and lads when they were huge, like you don't know the person whatsoever. You know his music, you know what he writes about, but like you know nothing behind the scenes of what he's like. And I feel like this, a platform like this, like humanizes you a lot. People can get to know you as the person. That just makes them relate to your bars even more, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm saying shit like bars and shit like that. It's the only chance I'm going to get to do it. Like,
yeah.
When you talk about like doing festivals and things like that you were speaking about, do you see, like when you do shows like that, do you prefer like a more intimate setting, like in a sugar club? Did you find, or like is it an outdoor venue or something like that, like something you enjoy?
Just crowd.
Performing.
Just has to be the crowd. Like the crowd doesn't matter. You could be performing and box bedroom, and if there's a lot of people there that fuck with your shit and they have a good energy, it's going to be better than doing main stage IEP if the crowd aren't fucking with you. Like, it's another kind of way. It's going to be like, if no one's listening or paying attention to you, you're not going to give a shit. But if there's five people there that are like in awe and listening to every word and repeating every word, you're going to be like, that was a savage show. Another kind of way. Like, we've done
the big romance for your album launch,
that
amazing.
Was sick. Yeah,
pretty small.
We played a album launch in the big romance
was
for Facts and that was really nice because it was just like all of our close friends and people that focus
small intimate like, setting the sound system in there is amazing. It's a Toby Hatchett probably about 50 people. Toby Hatchett sound system.
Right, bring me to the next one, will you?
For sure.
Next
for
album launch we have to sort out an album for us. You have to pick some fucking songs, man. I have about 50 songs there unreleased. I have to kind of like do something with like
how do you when obviously Graham's trying to put an album together and stuff like that, how do you find the balance between letting him be creative and going at his own pace and also you kind of sticking to structures and dates and deadlines that you have? Like, how do you kind of find the balance between those two?
I think having given the guys creative freedom and creative control is probably the most important thing. I feel like be quite easy in my role to overstep what I should be doing at the same time and kind of making it too much into just kind of a rudimentary schedule. Like, you know, so things kind of have to be able to change, has to be fluid as well. But we would have a structure, like we'd have a meeting at the start of every year and say, this is what we want to do for the year. Make sure we're kind of not clashing with each other as well. And then just kind of have just light project management and what I'm doing. But it's always a movable deadline because of the fact it's art. So we don't want to make it too...
We're all fucking rappers. God only knows what's going to happen the next day.
Literally. Like, so I have to be able to pivot, but we would have a set structure by month, by quarter, and then by year.
So let's say Graham comes to you. You have a you've 10 records. You have an album. You have 10 records. You can go. Graham has 30 that he wants to go. Do you have to keep in mind, like, do you give Graham total control over what goes in? Or are you like, look, we need something that kind of, you know, need some heavier stuff. We need some stuff that, like, you know, might get some pop play. We need something that might get through onto a TikTok or something. Like, are you thinking about those things? Or are you like, I know it's a difficult thing to navigate, but you also need to kind of look at, you know, what's going to help push Graham to get bigger, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's a good question. I think, again, full creative control is with the guys. I want the guys to be able to be independent artists. That if they ever stepped outside of Outstraight or a bigger opportunity came along, say, on a major international record label, that they could be their own artists as much as possible. I'd always be here to help. But I want them to run as much as they possibly can on their own. But I'm always here to kind of put the structure on things, make connections with different kind of groups and stuff as well. But that's kind of our approach.
I think that's important as well, because, like, not everyone has your best intentions. You know, that kind of way. Not everyone knows what good music sounds like.
That was kind of my question. Kind of like, there's definitely, you hear horror stories all the time of people signing with big labels and whatever it is. Number one, they leave fucking in debt.
You never hear from them again.
You don't own any of your own masters. Like, you've lost all your music.
Shit like that.
You know, everybody in Outstraight owns their own music. We're all in this together. So that it's not really a money-making machine, but we all kind of bear the burden between us. Obviously myself as well. And yeah, it's just been going really well. We've made really good connections. We have some stuff coming from, like, the UK soon and stuff as well. So it is growing over time and kind of making the connections now.
You're excited, like,
when that's a big thing.
That's how we sound that, but, like,
when you have
it's going to be a madness.
I think there's a nice little moment. I was saying, a lot of the guests I have on now, we're trying to build something, whatever that is. We have DJs on, we have lads trying to build businesses, whatever it is. A lot of them are still working a day job and pursuing that passion on the side. And the kind of similarity I was even talking about Ev Wilde there, like, the earning it and, like, appreciating it so much as you do a day job. Like, you have to really love something to do a 9 to 5, 9 to 6, and come home and then putting that rest of your time in the day into another passion. And I think that's what builds your when you do get that point where you're like, I can go do this full time myself, or Outstraight's big enough now where you can just work full time at Outstraight, you're going to appreciate that so much more than if you just dropped in and you're able, or financially you're able to just go at it full time from the start, you know?
Although I do think the special thing with Outstraight is that it's not about the money. I think the crowd that come to the shows, like, a lot of our shows are free in, or have been free in since, like, say, COVID times up until now. And even the bigger shows we do, I always want them to be cost conscious. Living in Dublin, it's very expensive. We all know that. And I want people to come and have that kind of escape. That's what music should be. But again, conversely, it's the same for the artists. Like, you know, so I'm not looking to make huge profits off the thing. Essentially, I'd love it to be kind of self-sufficient. And I think the sweet spot for us.
Breaking even, it'd be happy.
Or make a little bit of money that you can reinvest it into different projects and so
break,
on.
Break even. Well, a little bit. just a touch of profit, please.
Absolutely.
But I think minimum of breaking.
That's kind of the goal.
But, like, even that, like, so many people would be like, look, we're having a little show in the Sugar Club. Let's do 25 quid at the door per person. A little bit of, you know, put a little bit of money in everyone's pocket. But for you to be like, look, I want as many people to come as possible. So more people can see your artists. More people can build a fan base. And then we'll convert that into money later, you know?
Absolutely. And that's what has resonated with people, I think, a lot.
You have to pay 25 quid and you want to ring the missus. 50 quid straight away before you get to town, before a drink is bought. So, like,
drinks are expensive, all that kind of stuff.
That extra 20 quid, that's your fucking taxi home, or that's an extra couple of drinks for yourself and the missus, or another kind of way. If you're going by yourself, that's an extra couple of drinks. Or,
like, we could probably nickel and dime people a little bit more, but we want people to come and enjoy it, and that's what has done so well for Outstraight.
That's what's unique. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many lads in suits who would be at the top of record label who'd be like, how can we? I want money coming in. I want to sell fucking merch.
Extract everything.
I want to be selling hoodies for fucking 90 quid.
You don't want to be selling. Starting the people that are putting you in the position that you're in either. Fans are the people that are putting you in.
But that's
position.
Unique. Do you know what I mean? So many people are trying to, like, financially get as much as they can, especially if you don't, if you have a label rep or whoever you have whose goal is to fucking make as much money as possible. So I think that's going to stand to you in the long run. Like, I think it's fucking sick. When you're talking about the album now and putting it together, how many prospective pieces do you think you have right now to put into an album? Like, how many songs do you have just sitting ready to be
Too many.
Verge of 50, probably. Yeah.
And how do you break down, as you said, like with...
Probably more now at this stage.
Possibly, yeah, from all the other stuff that's going on.
Yeah, there's probably more. It's probably 60, 70.
And as you said, like producers, they treat their tracks like kids. So it's probably similar for you with your raps that you have. How do you then go and break that down into 10, 12, 15 pieces for an album?
Just whatever fits, whatever sounds nice. Now, like I could do a thing where I could have a track completely recorded, mixed, mastered, whatever.
Like I hate it.
And then just put the bars on something else that sounds better on. And then that'll be its forever home type of crackling. I mean, sometimes like there could be stuff sitting there for 2 years, like... One of the tracks that we're all kind of excited about at the minute, that's been sitting there for the longest time, and I haven't wanted to record it for the longest time. And then we had a little friend visit us, and it just happened that the friend liked the track, like the whole concept of the track, like my verse. They had a verse ready within an hour, maybe, and it just happened naturally. And it's going to be probably one of the biggest tracks I've done. So like stuff like that, stuff like that is kind of like. You never know what's going to happen to music. You never know. It's just, there's no sense of having it all sitting there. Just put it out there. And that's what the plan is for this year. It's just pump it out there.
Fuck, man. You do a good job of hyping shit up. I'm sitting here wondering.
I can't say much because I'm sitting here too. Yeah. The boss man sitting here giving me side eyes, being like, don't fucking
send emails under the table.
Don't be telling them who it is. Don't want even an initial. Nothing.
That's just a couple of projects we're very excited about this year, for sure. Will be said sooner rather than later in terms of like the announcement.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, soon.
Coming soon, motion picture style. Yeah.
If you had like an artist, let's say someone that's in the charts right now, can be Irish, can be not Irish, can be, you know, fucking huge artist or someone smaller. What's like a dream collab you could have on, or someone you think you'd fit
J.
well with?
J. Cole, man.
Yeah.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Yeah. J. Cole, come to Ireland, man. You can stay in the gaff. Look after you.
J. Cole stays in Greymouth. Yeah.
Can stay in the gaff. Look at you, get the outlet to make a nice stew, and bring you the back page and all.
What kind of questions would you ask him when it was just the two of you?
God only knows, man. I'd be fangirling the fuck out of it, man. I'd be fucking. I think I'd be picking his brain a lot about like what makes you tick. Like, how do you write the way you write? But sure, then I'd be like, imagine someone asked me like that. I'd be like, I don't fucking know. Like,
I think that's the beautiful thing, I think, though, is that like you'd get to know him and you'd be like, at the core of it, you're about doing the same shit. He's probably just
a normal fucker. He seems like one of the normalest fucking
big star.
He's pure, rides through fucking New York on a bike, dog.
Yeah, on his push bike. No
security, no fucking, no weapons on him. Like, name another big major artist that floats around Dolo like that. Yeah. Nobody, like,
yeah.
And I think that like that comes across like as him as a person, it probably makes me like him more, that he's not this big flashy dude. Like, with a huge entourage and things like that. As we're kind of wrapping up, we're going to do a freestyle after this, but what kind of things do you have coming this year that you're excited for? It doesn't have to be obviously album like, but is there any shows or things you're kind of working towards?
Yes, we've got a 4 Owls show coming up.
What is that?
4 Owls?
Yeah.
4 Owls are a group, huge group from England, nice. The UK, they're fucking unbelievable. Like, so who would it be? Like, Leaf Dog?
It's 4 guys, Flip Tricks, Leaf Dog, BVA, and Verb T. And they're probably, if anyone likes like kind of early 2000s UK hip hop, kind of when it was really bubbling in that scene, they're like the biggest super group that came from that. So they're high focus records.
How does that collaboration come about?
Slowly over time. We did a solo show with Flip Tricks 2 years ago now.
Yeah,
Racket Space. Then last year we did Flip Tricks and Verb T, so 2 of the 4 Ls. And now we're doing the 4 of them together. So like they're kind of like the super group. They all have individual solo careers. It's a
fucking cool way to do it.
Yeah. So it's kind of built together naturally.
The boys, like, what a little new D12, like.
Yeah. And we're gonna be playing with like a live band and stuff. Belfast Groove Collective.
Groove Collective.
I think that's probably why Graham's so excited.
Groove Collective are doing it.
Yeah. You did the last show with us too. They're magic. So
yeah,
that's why Graham's excited.
Yeah, I love a live band.
Oh, that's gonna be
my favorite. I think my music sounds beautiful over a live band. Beats and stuff like that can sound nice, but like just my stuff, it's that slower paced stuff. There's more of a swing to it, and a live band,
it translates very well live.
That's gonna be nice.
I enjoy it as well.
Where is that on?
The Sugar Club at the end of April.
I'm fucking going. Is it tickets?
Yeah, for sure.
I'll bring all my posh mates. I fucking hate it.
It's on Leeson Street.
Yeah, it will be fine.
Sugar Club.
Sugar Club's on Leeson Street.
I'm actually getting married on Leeson Street. Like, that's hilarious. in May next year.
No, I never knew that was Leeson Street.
Yeah, it's Leeson Street.
And it says something, keep the deal discreet, and I find your body on Leeson Street. And I didn't know.
Yeah, that's
it
the bottom of Leeson Street, was Stephen.
She shoots the video Leeson on Leeson Street. When that road's, I remember during COVID, we shot some stuff on Leeson Street because there was no cars on the road at all. And we were walking through town and it was completely empty. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And it's just got orange buildings both sides, like as far as you can see. Yeah. So we was walking down that, look fucking whopper.
Yeah, so that's a great fish.
Tenement.
Mm. All right, boys, is there anything else you want to chat before we go and do a freestyle?
No, just again, thanks for having us on.
Pleasure, bro.
As always. And
Use this as I said, if you have other lads you want to have on it, build a bit of a profile for, or just, you know, get to know the person a little bit more. Like, I love having musicians on.
Yeah.
Boys are definitely going to want it.
Oh yeah, I can imagine Beano's already.
Beano's in the group chat now going, boys, did you ask him, can we go on?
He's actually in Italy at the moment, so he's probably not too concerned.
I have three more mics, so we'll just get fucking nine of us on next time.
Yeah, it's a big cypher next time.
All the boys are going to want to do this.
Yeah. That's whopper.
Appreciate it, big time.
All right, lads, we're going to do a little freestyle. We're going to finish with that, but thank you both for coming on. That's genuinely
no problem.
Class.
Thanks for having us.
Go check out Graymo shit, man. Go check out Outstraight Records.
Oh, the boy.
And that show at the end of April. I'll fucking come to that, man.
Yeah. Big time.
All right, lads. Talk to you later. Thank you for listening. See you in the next one. Peace.
Yeah. Listen. Graymo. Outstraight Records. Prayer podcast. Let's go. Listen. Yeah, they attempted but they can't compete with me. Me and them do not do this shit equally. On me on frequency, notice when I speak and we don't relate, cause they hate in a secrecy. Used to fuck with me, now they all beef with me. I've been thinking about how they been treating me recently. I've been searching for some decency. That's a task that I'm finding increasingly difficult. But the purpose to feast me is typical. Feel like I'm dirt in the streets, man, I'm miserable. But what's worse than the physical is the actual pain that I feel is invisible. Mammy said tell them about how you're so different and show them that you're individual. We need buddies with cameras for visuals, need that advance and residuals. And I hate that I can't be emotional. Only mates with me when it's promotional. Clear the space so I can't be approachable. It's a race, man, you kinda come close to the kid. Caption and posted the vid. Wishing this shit is still popping for it to get traction. I swear, man, I hope that it did. And I know that your bitch is still watching. I told her, like, she's been back in the gap for a month. Despite the moaning and acting the cunt. Sick of her hearing her saying she's biking herself. Never seen that bitch practicing once. She's me t-shirt and bike to the front. Another trigger, my pack than a blunt. Man, I can beef in the flats if I want. Like me, man, I actually don't give a rat. If I don't, it's cool, I've been working on me, putting on me hard than the beat, and it's clear from your view that I couldn't really care what you do. You're putting on your door down the street, I've been used to this game. Know the real swear, cause you used to explain. Yeah, I've been used to this game. Know the real swear, cause you used to explain. Know the real swear, cause you used to. Yeah. That's it.
Yes, sir! Oh, God, that was hard.
Hard work. No, really. Thank you, bro. Thanks for having us. Yeah.